Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today I want to continue what we started discussing two episodes ago on the subject, generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. There are a number of points that we have made, and I'd like to just quickly review some of them before I go into what I'm going to be talking about today. We have seen that a number of things control the events on this earth. I keep on emphasizing this. There is nothing like luck on this earth. Luck is just the appearance, or what it appears like when the power of the blessing of God is working on somebody's behalf. There is nothing like luck. People don't die by accident. They may have died in car accidents, but they did not die by accident. We have seen in previous times that the death of Saul and the death of Ahab were orchestrated by God. Therefore, we cannot say that they died by accident. You get the point I'm making? Those are examples for us to follow in all the events of this earth. There are no accidents. People don't prosper by mistake. They prosper because certain spiritual forces have been put into motion and they are working in their favor. Do you understand the point I'm making? So there is nothing really like accident on this earth. So what we need to do as human beings, which is our own wisdom for living, is to know what we are to do to control the events on the earth. Do you get my point? Spiritual things indeed controls the things on the earth. Spiritual things happen first, then physical things respond to manifest accurately the thing that has already happened in the realm of the spirit. I do not mean by that people who live on earth don't have any control on the things on the earth. No, rather what we have explained in previous times is that their control is spiritual, and that a man works spiritual forces by his deeds on the earth. And the things that he might be doing may not appear to be directly connected with the results that he ends up seeing. This is where I like to explain it. If you plant a seed, it doesn't usually look like the tree that will come out of that seed. That is, when we plant our actions, when we plant our heart attitudes, when we plant the things that we do in life into life, they generate spiritual forces that bring things that might not look exactly like what we planted, but they are obviously results of what we planted. That is, we have control on the earth. My good example is that the Bible says that he that dishonors his father and drives away his mother, he said his lamp will go out in the time of darkness, or like King James says, in obscure darkness. A man's behavior towards his parents may not appear connected to the natural man, to the calamities that he begins to have in 20 years' time, in the time of darkness. God said the reason why his lamp will go out is because of those things that he did when he came to relating with his parents. That's what I mean, that his relationship with his parents generated spiritual forces, but when they were going to be manifested, they did not manifest as his own children disobeying him. They can manifest like that, but they end up manifesting as his company collapsing suddenly. If he imports, maybe he decides to buy a ship and it sinks. You understand my point? The time that his payments for the loan he took in the bank was due, that is the time they changed the MD and they put a new MD who's not ready to give him any time and any chance, and then he calls in his collateral and sells things off. That is what is meant when he says somebody's lamp is going out in the time of darkness. You get what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not by just wishing for things. What a man experiences in life is not a result of his desires. I cannot say this enough. It is not your desires that dictate what you experience in life. There are many spiritual forces that control it. One of the weakest of them is your desires. Do you understand my point? The Englishman has said to us, if wishes were horses, even beggars will ride. Now, applying this when it comes to the redemption of a nation is very important, and that's what we are talking about. So we have seen among those points that there are three important things that control the events on the earth. Let me use nation as a narrowing point now. There are three important things that control the events of a nation on this earth. There are three. Number one is the purpose of God. We have established that last week. Number two, we say the behavior of the citizens of that nation. And number three, the prayers of men in the nation. Now, I have explained that what we experience, what we actually see in life, they are the result of all the spiritual forces generated by the individuals therein. And last week, I explained something very important when I said that men are not equal before God. Because, you see, now, we said there are three points. There's the purpose of God. And we say God is very patient. If he does not fulfill his purpose in one generation, he will fulfill his purpose in the next generation. And we say the behavior of men. The people that are living on that land. We have so many scriptures to explain that. Now, when people do things, generally people do things, and they generate, and this is what happens most of the time, they generate negative forces. You know, I said something before, corruption didn't start in Nigeria today. It has been here for a very long time, and I am particularly persuaded about this, that all the economic problems we have had, they have not been results of bad leadership. They have not been results of bad policies by government. They have been actually results of the fact that the men who inhabit the land are generally corrupt people. Do you understand my point? That is, they release the spirit of corruption into the air. And the word corruption is beyond just stealing money, but it also involves decadence in every sphere of life. Do you understand my point? Please, don't blame anybody for being the cause of Nigerian problems. You see, one of the things that people make as mistakes is that they always look at the problem as being out there. It has been the leader. They have never realized that it is us. Do you get my point? That if we had been better people, we would have gotten better leaders. You get the point I'm trying to make. Please, I don't want to go over all of this again because we established it in the previous times. So, but what I want to emphasize here is this. So we said that three things control the event: the purpose of God, the behavior of men. Then number three, the prayers of men. I emphasized something last week, which I need to further emphasize today, that those men, they don't refer to everybody. They don't refer to everybody. Now, everybody can generate negative spiritual forces. But when it comes to positive spiritual forces, it's usually impractical, and God hardly finds the opportunity for this to happen. Everybody hardly cooperates to generate positive forces. I don't know why it's like that, but it's a fact. Therefore, the way God has ordered it is that he doesn't wait for everybody to generate positive forces. But amongst the generality of people, there are those who call my people that are called by my name. Amongst the generality of people, there are people like Daniel, who the Bible testified was highly esteemed in the eyes of God. Amongst the generality of people, there are the 10 people that God said, if they are righteous and I find them in Sodom and Gomorrah, for their sake, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Though the multitudes of people in Sodom and Gomorrah had generated enough spiritual forces to download judgment and destruction from heaven, yet he said 10 people there will be enough to withhold the hand of judgment. They may not be able to bring forth all the prosperity necessary, but they will be able to withhold the hand of judgment. That tells us something. It is not everybody in a nation that God requires to do the things that we are preaching, and then positive things will begin to happen. People have said that, oh, things are very terrible. You don't know how the hearts of people are. Listen, one thing I know for sure is that if God finds enough people to do the things he wants done, great things will happen in the land. Do you understand my point? I don't mean if God finds 10 angelic politicians. I don't mean if God finds 10 angelic legislators or if God finds 10 angelic judges. No. I mean if God finds people, mechanics, teachers, doctors, lawyers, historians, in different aspects of life. Listen to me. They are not even counted because they are preachers. A preacher may not even be counted. Are you getting my point? Now, they are counted because of their personal relationship with God. And God said to these people, it is the statement of God to them is that it is their prayers that they offer up to God that will be necessary for the redemption of the people. Do you get my point? You don't expect everybody to repent. But if enough people that have a personal relationship with God repent, God will use their prayers. Now, I said God will use their prayers. It's very important. God doesn't ask men to do things if it were not important for them to do it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, God has commanded that men ought to pray and not faint. It's because there are things that God will want to do. If they don't pray about it, God will not do it for them. He said, this I will also have the children of Israel ask me, and then I will do it for them. I will increase them like a flock. What he's trying to say is that before they experience greatness, before they experience increase, they have to go to God asking for it. Please, let me emphasize this again. It is not everybody, but if you are listening to me and you are one of them, there are things that God expects you to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if you are a righteous man in the sight of God, that you are commending your conscience towards God. You know, something happened today when I was coming here. There was a small obstruction on the road, and I wanted to use this one to instruct us in something, because it's so important we commend our conscience towards God. A lot of us, that's a natural human tendency. We tend to do things for eye service. Let people see that I'm doing it. Are you getting my point? That is, maybe now I say, oh, as a pastor, I shouldn't be seen doing this because it is not right for a pastor to do it. Now, it is true. That is a very, very true statement. But you see, actually, in God's sight, that is far inferior to some realities of life. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. As I was coming today, there was an obstruction on the road. And of course, instantly, started by commercial buses, as usually, started moving to the other side of the road and creating a situation in which obstruction would now start on the other side of the road. The side we were on, the traffic was moving, but it was slow. Okay? Now, there's something I told myself. Now, I also was in a hurry. I wanted to get to where I was going on time, but I said, no, I will not shun to the other side of the road. Why? Because I know, I am persuaded it is wrong. Do you understand my point? Listen, I could have gotten quicker to where I was going by going to the other side of the road, but I kind of owe it as a responsibility to myself and to God not to do that, because I want justice and order in the land. I hope you are getting my point. I want people to be well behaved. We talk about advanced countries. If that was an advanced country, nobody would do that. All of them will be booked because there was no serious problem on our side. Traffic was just slow. You have to just be patient and you will pass the difficult point. But we sit down and grumble, advanced country. Then we keep on doing the things that ensure that we are never advanced. Are you getting my point? Now, so if you have a heart like that, listen to me, it is people like you that God say will pray for the nation. It is not those who say if you cannot beat them, we join them. No, it is that, listen, you go to the courts. The magistrate said if you don't bribe, okay, your client will not go free. Say any client that requires bribery, all right, he wants to become free by bribery, he should not pick me as a lawyer. Listen to me, initially, it will make you lose clients. It will make you lose clients, and you may not make as much money as other lawyers are making. But the fact is that it is only you amongst all those lawyers that can see anything in God's presence that will change the judiciary. Do you get my point? I keep on saying this, salvation is not as free as we thought. Salvation, God has never made it appear to be free. There is a cost of salvation. Everybody loses something as a sign of his faith, and that is the cost of his salvation. That is a man who really, really, really wants something from God. There are times God will take you through tests and trials, and it's when you lose that something because of your faith in God that God realizes that you are really, really serious. That was a contest over the life of Job. Don't ever forget that. That was a contest over the life of Job. Satan said to God, concerning the case of Job, he said, he's serving you because of what he's getting. So God took everything away from Job. Allowed Satan to take everything away. At the end of the day, Job did not curse God, and he said, I would rather lose everything and hold to my integrity than to die in comfort. And yet, curse God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is only people like that really that can offer prayers to God for a nation and then something will work. It is not like 1 million Christians gather for all night prayer and then we have prayed, then suddenly something will begin to work. Listen to me, it does not work like that. Your pastor does not make your prayer more effective than that of another person. You know, some people, when they want prayer, they say, let me go and look for a pastor to pray for me. Listen, it is just a pastor's prayer is not particularly efficacious. It's true. We have to understand. Let's tell ourselves the truth. What makes your prayer efficacious is that God respects you. You know, when Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, there's something was trying to say there. God doesn't discriminate needlessly. That's what I'm trying to say. And in fact, in that context, what he was saying is that God doesn't look at a rich man or a poor man. Are you getting my point? But God said, I don't hear the prayer of everybody. If a man is a sinner, his prayer, unless a prayer of repentance, the prayer is an abomination to me. What makes your prayer effective is that God looks at you with regard. Are you getting my point? That this is somebody who honors God in his heart. And to such people, I'm crying out again. You must not do the wrong work of giving your members over to Satan. Because remember what I said? It is very important that we pray for the nation, and nothing good happens by accident. Evolution is such a ridiculous principle because it contradicts the principle of life. Good things don't happen by chance. Men make them happen. A car will not appear suddenly. Somebody must manufacture one. A house doesn't just grow out of nothing. Somebody manufactures it. In the same manner, a good country does not just come out by itself. It does not come out by everybody taking visas and running away. It comes out by the fact that certain people sit down and cry to God. Are you getting my point? And that is so important. Listen, there's something God gave you your mouth for. Your mouth was never given to you to comment on the issues of a nation. Never. It was given to you as a righteous child of God to direct the issues of the nation. Listen, these things I'm saying are very potent. Do you know, I have proof from the scriptures for that if you sit down as a righteous man in the corner of your house, are you getting my point, and you are strategizing for the redemption of a certain sector of the nation, you might be surprised that 6 months later, what you were thinking about in the corner of your bedroom and discussing with a fellow righteous man like yourself is announced as a policy in that nation. You know what happened? God said that the birds of the air, they carried your talk and carried it to the king's bedchamber. It's a spiritual principle. Do you get my point? One of the pastimes I have is that I will tell people, I said, if I were to be appointed maybe a DG in this area or even the president of a nation for 24 hours or 6 months, what are the things I would like to do? And I start brainstorming. What would I like to do to correct this particular part of? Because listen, many of the problems we have in the nation, they are not difficult to correct. They just need a willing heart. And not even somebody who is so strong. Somebody who will just refuse to accept that things must continue like this. Somebody will not just give in. There is a principle of Satan I want you to understand. What he tries to do is to wear people out and to discourage them. That is such an important strategy of Satan. If you want to step into office, let me give an example. Now, maybe they appoint you as a minister. First thing that Satan makes sure happens to you is that all your friends will come and tell you it is their turn. And you wanted to go there and do good. Then Satan says that even your friends, who is going to support you now? You have to look them in the faces and tell them, listen to me. If you were not a contractor before I became a minister, you will not get jobs from me. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you were a university lecturer before I became a minister, I will not give you building contracts because you are not a builder. You will lose friends. But that's the cost of your salvation. That is the only thing that makes you effective in the things that you are doing. Listen, this is the truth that redeems a nation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But I'm just calling to people to understand that. So what God said you should do with your tongue is not to go around grumbling and complaining. What do you do? You use your tongue to offer prayers to God. Like we read last time from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That is so important. I explained this, that prayer is not a pastime of a Christian. Prayer is not supposed to be something you do because it is time to pray. Prayer is a result of faith. Prayer is not what you do when you are discouraged. Prayer is not something you do because there is nothing else to do. Prayer is something you do because you are sure that God can do something and will do something if you ask Him. Are you getting the point I'm making here? You know, the reason why you ask, look, you are not a beggar when it comes to prayer with God. It's beggars that ask eventually everybody for something. Even them, they have a kind of faith that somebody will give them something eventually. Do you get my point? But the relationship of a Christian with God the Father in a matter of prayer is that he is persuaded. It's like a son towards the Father. You get my point? That the reason why the son, if my son loves a toy, he knows who to ask for. Incidentally, he doesn't ask any uncle. He does not ask anybody else. He asks either me or my wife, Daddy, will you buy this for me? Why? Because he knows that this is a source of blessing. Are you getting my point? And that's the way it is also with the Christian. That the reason why we pray is that we are sure that not only can God do something, we know that he will if we ask him. There's no need to be afraid that something, look, that's the way I handle it. When I hear rumors of war, then I go and pray to the God that says, I am the one that make wars cease. You get what I'm trying to say? So he said that rumors of war, there will be this disturbance. Then we get down and begin to pray. Say, God, not here. God, not here. In the name of Jesus Christ, not here. Because if we kept quiet, the rumors, because you see, there is a way spiritual things are launched. And the most important way is by mouth. Let me develop that briefly before I go on into the thing we were saying before. Listen, the Bible talks about the fiery darts. It's talking about taking the shield of faith. That's Ephesians chapter 6. It's talking about the weapons of our warfare. Now, it talks about taking the shield of faith wherewith you will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. What does it mean by fiery darts? That is the fire-tipped arrows. Those days, if the armies wanted to fight, one of the strategies about fighting a fortified city especially is that they take arrows, put burning torches at the tip, and shoot the arrow. They can set a city on fire without stepping into the city. So Paul was explaining that as a Christian, what we must take is our shield of faith with which we quench the fire-tipped arrows of the enemy. Now, this is what I want you to understand here. That is, when Satan wants to do things, he sends fire into your heart without even coming in there by arrows. Are you getting my point? And what is that arrow? They are the words that you hear. Listen, every word that you hear is a spiritual offense. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's an attack of the enemy. When they tell you that there is no hope in this country, it's an attack. Listen, it's battle that's going on here. Look, physical things are a reflection of spiritual things. And it is words that are used right now that create what will be tomorrow. So when you hear there is no hope, it's an attack. So Paul said, what do? You defend yourself. You defend your nation. You defend your community against that verbal assault, against that verbal attack, because those words are not innocent in any form. They are not innocent. So when a man says there is no hope, he says there is hope. Say, what do you mean there is no hope? I can't see things are going on. I say, listen to me. There is hope. Great things are going to happen. What I am doing is that I'm using my own words, all right, which is a result of the shield of faith that I have lifted up, and I'm launching my own attack. Do you get my point? But the mistake we make is that we settle down, 2, 3, we gather together, and people give us explanations. People will sit down, analyze the situation of the nation, and look at it generally. Look, you know I'm right in what I'm going to say. More than 80% of the times, the conclusion is that it is hopeless. Do you get my point? If government does nothing about corruption, it is hopeless. If they do something about corruption, it is illegal. Yet at the end of the day, they are telling us that nothing is working. I don't know whether you're getting the point I'm trying to make here. If government writes a law, it is bad. If they don't write a law, they are negligent. So at the end of the day, we sit down and keep on using words to tell ourselves that we are not going anywhere. And listen to me, if we keep on aligning those words, what happens is that we are energizing negative spiritual forces and we will never go anywhere. Do you understand my point? That's what I mean by generating spiritual forces. If you have made up your mind to walk with God, there is a call to you again from God that He needs your words. He needs the power of your prayers to do something. I explained last week that everything spiritual has measures. All right? That when the Bible talks about the prayer of the saints that were in a bowl, that tells you that it can be measured. And until the clouds are full, they don't pour forth rain on this earth. That is, if you have been praying for decades and you have not seen the kind of results that you wanted to see, it does not mean God has not heard. It just says it's not yet full. Are you getting my point? If you read the scriptures, you will see Anna and Simeon. They were two people that for decades they were praying for the manifestation of God's redemption. And they didn't stop praying until Jesus was born. Are you getting my point? When Jesus was born and he came for circumcision and Simeon heard his cry in the temple, he went there quickly. He knew God allowed him to understand that is the cry of the child you have been praying for. He now said, "Thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." That tells you something. God had kept him alive, telling him that you will not die until you see it. So for years, the man was praying about something he had not yet seen. Do you get my point? Look, I'm saying this and I want to join your voices with me that good things are coming to this nation. Not because of chance, not because of accident, but because we are saying it, because we are prophesying it, because we are praying about it to God. And when we do things like that, there's something I want you to understand. Troublemakers begin to have problems. These are spiritual battles, I'm telling you. You will see men who have encamped themselves, who have joined themselves into groups to hold other people in bondage. Suddenly, they begin to quarrel amongst themselves. When God was ready to deliver his people at the point in time, everybody that gathered to war against them began to fight amongst themselves. God says, "I will turn the heart of the Egyptian against his brother." Are you getting what I want to say? That is, when I'm set to deliver a people, those who held them in bondage will become their own enemies. When Jeremiah began to prophesy about the plan of God, men began to drop down dead. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? Look, it's a spiritual warfare. Are you getting my point? As you are praying for good, there are those who don't want good in the land. One of my colleagues was telling me a few days ago that in Oka, where he was staying, now listen to this, GSM had been rolled out in Lagos. Now he was living in Oka, and GSM had been rolled out in some of Nigerian cities, Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja. You know, that's where they usually start from. And because of that, Nitec crashed their prices, knowing that GSM was about to come to the east also. They crashed their prices for their 090 of those days from 80,000 naira or 90,000 naira down to 20,000. And he heard people say, those who had bought mobile phones to show that they are great people, they were very angry. You know what they said? So everybody now will start using mobile phone. And they were angry because, you know, their own sign of power was being taken away from them. Those are the people we call oppressors. That tells you if such a man is put in a position of authority, he will never allow anything to become common. Maybe he has labored and sold his conscience and sold his life to be able to purchase a brand new car. You understand my point? Now he's making a lot of money. If there's an avenue to make it possible for Nigeria to return to those days when everybody wanted a car, walked into a car shop and bought it either cash or on credit and could afford brand new ones, he wouldn't give you such policies. But such people, you know what God is going to do to them in this season? God will cripple them on every form. Every connection they had that would have lifted them up into office, God will cripple it. And that's what I'm very sure about. What God is doing is that he's pulling away the arm of the oppressor. But he doesn't pull the arm away the arm of the oppressor just because we are shouting against the oppressor. No, we cry to God, having repented in our hearts. And God looks and says, Daniel, you are highly esteemed before me. Even though I wanted to destroy these people, I will not destroy them because you have asked. And that is the plan of God for life. What do I mean by the plan of God for life? God always raises one person up who is the redeemer for everybody else. That's the way it works every time. That's why I told Abraham, I have blessed you so that you will be a blessing. Listen to me, if you want to prosper and you are hearing me tonight, listen, you had better rearrange your heart to be one that wants everybody to progress. Because according to the word of my prophecy, if you are the type that don't want others to progress and increase in life, you will never be given any position of authority. The one you had before now will be taken away from you. We are praying about that and it will happen. Are you getting my point? That the only people who are sitting down imagining how to make things good for everybody. It amazed me as I began to grow up in life to realize that human beings are actually wicked. There are those who don't want others to progress. They don't want others to progress. There are those who appear like they are nice. They are only nice as long as everybody is begging them for money. Just say, Baba Ke, they will give you money. But if you were to give the opportunity for other people to be able to have money without calling him Baba Ke, he will block it. And to such people, I declare again tonight, your time is up. You are getting what I'm trying to say. What is God doing? God is bringing out a new order. But he said, before I can bring out a new order, I want righteous men to rise up and say, God, bring out a new order. And he said, the only way I know they are serious is that if in their lives, first of all, they bring into their lives a new order. Do you get my point? Listen, greatness does not come to a nation because people desire it. It comes because some people make the sacrifices. They lose money sometimes. They suffer sometimes. Maybe in their days, some people say that, look at you. If you had done this, you would have made money like your friends. But God said, listen, I know you didn't make money. I know you are not very rich. He said, I wanted to bring you to the position of a priest. Do you get my point? That you needed to be brought down so that you can be lifted up as a high priest to be able to pray for other people. Listen to me. Let me encourage your heart again. If in previous times you apparently have suffered because of righteousness, God said, don't waste it. This is your time to use the spiritual capacity that you have so generated to redeem everybody else. You must be a forgiving person. Are you getting my point? Forgive those who have wronged you. You know, that's the interesting thing about Joseph. Before God could use him to redeem Egypt and the whole of Israel and the whole of the world that was neighboring in that area, God had to make sure that he was one that didn't bear a grudge. You are getting my point. His brother sold him into slavery. But when he got there, they came to beg him. He said, there is no need. Because he had come to understand that the only reason why he has the capacity and the ability, the spiritual energy to be able to do the things that he was doing for them was because he was a forgiving person. Are you getting my point? He had understood that, yes, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So he told them, am I in God's stead to kill and to make alive? Do you understand my point? This is very important. Now, let me close what I've been saying today by quickly reviewing some of the things that we have learned. Don't ever forget, I've said this again and again. God does not ever spare a land because it's a beautiful place. He spares the land because there are beautiful people therein. Today, I have explained that, listen, it is the words, the prayers of the righteous people of God. And I have explained what I meant by righteous people. That is what God is going to use to redeem a nation. Are you getting my point? That their words are strong spiritual forces. They are matters of warfare. These are the things that God is using. Remember we read last week that the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is what they decide on this earth that will be confirmed in heaven. If you go and read the Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when they were stepping into the promised land in Kadesh Barnea, this is very important. Let me introduce it and I'll develop it next time. God allowed them to go and spy the land because they asked Moses. And when they finished spying the land, they came back and said, there are giants in the land. We cannot go in. Before them, we are like grasshoppers. We are not able to go in. Therefore, God said, as you have said in my ears, that is what I will do to you. That is, God allowed them to go in, to go and decide whether they will enter the promised land or they will not enter the promised land. God wanted to hear what they would say. And they said, we are not going to go in. And God said, as you have said, that is exactly what I'm going to do to you. And God prevented everybody who used his own conscious mind to make that statement. That is, anybody above the age of 20, he prevented such people from going into the promised land. I will talk about that again next week. Because there are giants in every inheritance of God, but it must never happen that you change your mouth, your tongue, because of what the giants are saying. Do you understand that point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.